You are a Judas. The very name of Judas has an ugly ring to it, doesn't it? That's probably because we've associated betrayal with it. If someone said to you, "You're a Judas," likely you would be angry and defensive because calling somebody Judas implies something very bad. Judas betrayed Jesus, and from our vantage point today, it seems incredible that someone would do such a thing. Over the centuries, there have been numerous attempts to try to explain why Judas betrayed Jesus. For example, some say that Judas belonged to a sect of rebels, or really terrorists, who wanted to overthrow the oppressive yoke of Rome and set their nation free again. As a matter of fact, we know that such groups did exist, and about 70 AD, they inspired the whole nation to rebel against Rome, and rather than freeing themselves, Rome crushed them utterly and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. But what did all of this have to do with Jesus? Well, actually, quite a lot. Jesus had caught the imagination of the people. They had responded to his teachings, to his miracles, and he was in a position to give charismatic leadership to any rebellion against Rome. But Jesus didn't do that. Instead, he had said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And Judas saw his chances slipping away. Was there some way he could force the hand of Jesus? Was there something he could do that would compel Jesus to take charge, to assume his role as king, to take the leadership as the Messiah of Israel? Now, if you had been Judas, what would you have done? If you believed that your people had the potential for defeating its rulers and throwing off the shackles of captivity, if you believed that all that was needed was someone to lead them who would captivate their hearts and minds, win their allegiance, and if you believed the one who could do that was Jesus, what would you have done? And if Jesus wouldn't do it, was there some way to force his hand, to compel him to act? Was there some way to make him take charge? So some say that Judas betrayed Jesus not only to betray, not really to betray him, but to put him in a position where he would be forced to act. Well, I suppose it could have been something like that. After all, when it didn't work, Judas repented and tried to return the pieces of silver. On the other hand, the Bible also says that Judas was a thief. Maybe it wasn't anything so noble as rebellion against Rome after all. Maybe it wasn't anything so heroic, so grand, so magnificent as a noble cause. Maybe, after all, it was just pure greed, pure dishonesty, pure betrayal for the sake of personal gain. Well, who knows what might have been the motives of Judas? But let me suggest several things to you. First of all, Judas was not. He was not a monster. He was not a great deal different from any of us here this morning. Sometimes we want to make Judas out as somebody unusually bad or a really terrible person who did something no one else would ever do. But let me ask you, have you ever betrayed Jesus? If you claim to be a Christian and if you claim to be a member of the body of Christ, have you ever betrayed him? Have you ever been ashamed to claim him publicly in some situation as your Lord? Have you ever failed to assert his claims on your life, his lordship over you? Well, I think I've done that sort of thing. I don't think Judas is a great deal different from me or perhaps you. Have you ever betrayed him? Have you ever been a traitor to your faith? Well, I suspect all of us would have to respond in the affirmative to that and say, yes. There are many times when I've betrayed Jesus, done what I shouldn't have done, said what I shouldn't have said, left unsaid what I should have said. So the first observation I want to make is that Judas was not a monster. He was not a lot different from you and I. The second observation is this. Judas failed because he wanted what he wanted, not what God wanted. Has that ever happened to you? Take, for example, tithing. Do you do what God wants or do you do what you want? Or take the Ten Commandments. Do you do what you want or what God wants? Or take the Beatitudes. Do you go your way or do you go God's way? Or take this business of agape love, love that's uncaused, undeserved, unmerited. Do you love your enemies and pray for those who despitefully abuse you? Or do you love those who love you back, even as the Gentiles do? You see, that's God's way versus your way. I've discovered that I fail so often because I do what I want and not what God wants. Do you have that problem? You see, that's what landed Judas in trouble. And then the third observation I would make is this. Judas took the 30 pieces of silver back, but a clear conscience is not so easily bought. Let me see if I can help us understand what happened. Judas tried to undo his betrayal himself. And frankly, that doesn't work. You can't undo your sins, and I can't undo mine. Let me illustrate. If I do something to you that injures you or wounds you or hurts you, and I come and ask you forgiveness, and you out of your Christian charity forgive me, yet the scar on your heart and the scar on my heart always remains. If a man betrays his faithfulness to his wife, and then she forgives him, yet that hurt, that scar is always there. You see, a clear conscience is not so easily bought. Where then is the source of our forgiveness? It's in Jesus. It's in this very table before us. And as long as we think we can clear our own conscience, as long as we think we can make up for our own failures and make up for our mistakes before God, like Judas, we will be committing spiritual suicide. No, the price of a clean conscience is not easily bought. It cost the cross. It cost Calvary. It cost the life of Jesus. And that's what the Lord's Supper is all about. It's about us traitors, you and me. It's about those of us who have betrayed God, who have sold Him out, who have done our own thing and not done God's thing. And who can't clear our own conscience. So the Lord's Supper is for the Judas in all of us. I have betrayed him in many ways. I suspect you have too. But it's exactly to people like you and I that Jesus offers his forgiveness. Then this last thing. Whatever betrayal may be going on in your life, whatever sin you may be engaged in, whatever spiritual failure you may have in your life, whatever thing you're doing that's out of accord with God's will, whatever lust, whatever greed, whatever desire you have that's out of God's will for your life, if you do not plan to stop it, if you do not plan to be different, if you don't plan to let God help you be better than you are, if you do not desire to change and to do God's thing and not your thing, then don't take communion this morning. our memory verse offers us a solemn warning. It says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of Jesus. And then that passage goes on to add, for anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment. Judgment on himself. But if you want to be better than you are, if you want to be forgiven, if you want a resource of new spiritual strength to be what God wants you to be, then come, join me at the table where traitors like us get the one thing we really need, forgiveness. Let us pray.